Living the Dream with Frank Vespi. She is living the dream, talking about all the beneficial aspects of horse racing in Virginia. Did a presentation at a Virginia Racing Commission meeting this week, just a wonderful display of thoroughbred life here in Virginia. Caitlin Free, who is the handicapper at Colonial Downs. What does she do in the off season from Colonial Downs? She handicaps at Turfway Park just outside of Cincinnati in Kentucky, and they run the Pataglia. So, by the way, Barry Spears will be with us next week, former Virginia Union basketball player who now handicaps at Tampa Bay. They have their big race next week. But let's go back to last week and looking at the Rebel Stakes, the feature, a $1.25 million a mile and a 16th Kentucky Derby prep race held at Oaklawn Park. We were reaching for Ken McPeak last week. He had two really nice horses coming in, Common Defense and Northern Flame. The hookup didn't happen. We hope to bring them back really soon because those horses ran well. The big favorite in the race was Timberlake. Dwayne Lucas actually had Just Steel at 88 years old, not the horse, Lucas, 88. He's still around training for hoping to get another Kentucky Derby starter. But Matt Dinnerman, the track announcer at Oaklawn Park, saw the race this way in the Rebel.
Timberlake on the outside roars to the front. Common Defense trying to pull off the upset. And Northern Flame, Timberlake drifting to the center of the track. But he's clear, coming on Common Defense. But Timberlake's going to do it. And Timberlake and Christian Torres win the Rebel by two in a nice effort to kick off his three-year-old season.
Yeah, a little bit of rust didn't matter for Timberlake. Christian Torres with a big win there. $3.60 for trainer Brad Cox, the winning payout there. He got a little bit more money than that. But congratulations to those connections. Windstar Farm, the winning owners there. Timberlake moves to the top of the Kentucky Derby points leaderboard, 66 points. As kind of happens this time of year, every time a horse wins a race, they get that 50. At 50, and that throws them to the top of the Kentucky Derby leader standing. So congratulations to those connections. Also last week, Speediness won the Miracle Wood held at Laurel Park, and Jamie Rodriguez with the win there. We talked about that some last week. Jamie Ness, actually the winning trainer there. So congratulations to those connections winning the Miracle Wood. And also in the Wide Country, it was Miss Harriet, a $5 winner as the favorite. Jamie Rodriguez sweeping the two stakes at Laurel Park, sister track located up north. And in the richest race held at any time in the world, the Saudi Cup, I did not actually get a chance to track down who the announcer was, but this was the race that had National Treasure in it, Derma Sotagaki, a $20 million race. Hoist the Gold was in this race. Urba Tesoro, Saudi Crown had the lead. Let's pick up the world's richest race here at the top of the stretch with Saudi Crown in the lead.
Saudi Crown, who has the advantage from National Treasure. Urba Tesoro from a mile back continues to stay on. Also staying on strongly is Senor Buscador out in front. Saudi Crown with 150 meters to last. Still has the lead. National Treasure, Urba Tesoro late on the scene and right down the outside. Senor Buscador, the lead is taken by Urba Tesoro, but right on the line. Senor Buscador might have tipped him out.
I've heard a lot of race calls over the years, a lot of photo finish calls. I've never heard ticked him out before, but Senior Buscador with Jamie Junior Alvarado aboard gets the win there for trainer Todd Fincher, winning owner Sharif Muhammad. Joe Peacock also involved in that, so as the breeder. So congratulations on that fat check, $20 million in the win there. So big win there in the Saudi Cup last week. And looking at the Kentucky Derby training or point standings, you got Timberlake with 66 points, Sierra Leone 55, Track Phantom with 55, Fierceness, the Juvie winner, with 36. Common Defense for McPeak rounds out the top five with 27 points there. So those are the leaders headed toward the Kentucky Derby. Dornock, ironically, is currently 22nd with 10
Darryl's
points.
Good to go when you are.
But we'll talk to Dornock's trainer here in about 5 minutes or so. Darryl Wood is up next on Off to the Races, and let's get him into the mood with some of his favorite bumper music. I don't know if he likes the win bets or if he likes the trifecta bets, but he likes to box the exactas, perhaps. Darryl Wood joining us on Off to the Races. A few days ago, it was Leap Day. Little did we know then that it's going to be Leap Day here for steeplechase horses with the Rappahannock Company. We got live racing coming back to Virginia starting today with the Rappahannock Hunt, which kicks off the steeplechase calendar and the hunt calendar. And Darryl, good morning.
Nick, your segues are brilliant as always today. But yeah, it's a great day because it's actually the start of the horse racing season in Virginia. You know, a lot of folks know Colonial Downs is starting in July in the harness set. Shenandoah Downs starts in April and again in September. But the steeplechase minor league season of sorts begins today out at the in Boston, Virginia. And hopefully they didn't get the kind of rain that we got in Richmond, where we had about 10 hours straight rain overnight.
Yeah, starting to dry up here a little bit closer to Rappahannock than you are. So hopefully it's carrying out there and just doing nothing but softening the ground a little bit. So yeah, exciting calendar, Foxfield ahead, the Virginia Gold Cup. And of course, we got the meet at Shenandoah Downs. Want to talk a little bit perhaps about the racing at Colonial Downs. The promotional schedule was announced this week, and live racing starting on Thirsty Thursdays, July 11th, to open up the meet. Racing every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 4:30 is the late post time on Sunday. That's the only difference. Fridays being a party at the Downs every Friday. Boy, just look at this. You got the squirrels. You got the NASCAR. You got the county fair. You got the wiener dog races. I mean, there's plenty going on, and I don't think Colonial Downs is really done yet in terms of their promotional calendar.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job. Like you mentioned, Nick, they announced it at the Virginia Racing Commission meeting this past week, but I know the wiener dog races, we've done that for several years up in Woodstock, and I know that it's going to be, you know, I think as big a crowd as you would expect on either the Virginia Derby or on Arlington Million Festival of Racing Day. So they've done a great job. Happy hour specials on Thursday and Friday, and then every Saturday's got an event tag with it. And they are taking reservations right now for all levels for the meet. So if you want to get that window table in the Jockey Club or that window table up in the Turf Club for Million Day, Derby Day, you know, now's your chance before, you know, too many people get a hold of this and start booking those tables. So good opportunity right now.
Maybe just a note about Shenandoah Downs. That'll be the next racing breed to start up beginning in April. Looking forward to maybe Kentucky Derby Day. Some excitement about the events on Kentucky Derby Day. A little bit of music to go with your horse racing.
Yeah, we start, believe it or not, in a month, and boy, it's hard to believe the Kentucky Derby is only in 2 months. But April 6th is kickoff day, and I think that we've got a lot of really good events planned. Corgi dog races, and like you mentioned, Derby Preakness betting. But I think the thing that everyone's looking forward to is Saturday, May 11th, and Foiled Again, who is the richest standard bred in history, won about $7.6 million. He's going to turn 20 that day, and we're shipping him up from Florida from his retirement grounds to join us at Shenandoah for a 20th birthday celebration, and we're going to have some of his past drivers that have led him to victory in those 109 wins that he had. We're going to have people from around the country that are going to come in and celebrate this wonderful horse, get the picture taken with him. But May 11th, Foiled Again's 20th birthday party, and I think that's going to be the highlight of our spring season.
Yeah, and some music on Kentucky Derby Day, too, so you can wager up at Shenandoah Downs then as well. Daryl, thanks a lot for joining us on this soaking Saturday morning. Hopefully it'll dry out. Looks like it will, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Nick. Have a great show.
Great. Daryl Wood joining us in the leadoff role as big fan of Carbon Leaf. Carbon Leaf coming to Charlottesville here in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. Yeah, we're going to reach out to our special guest on Off to the Races, Danny Gargan, here in a few moments. Just to go over the weather conditions for racing today. Santa Anita, we talked about already on the show, the San Felipe, where they also run the 100 grander, the 400 grander currently, the Santa Anita Handicap. That's the race that you see in the Seabiscuit movie. Seabiscuit actually raced in that at least three times, maybe longer, but you only see the two races in the movie.
But Danny's good to go.
Really well put together movie. So Santa Anita, they will race tomorrow. They're expecting about 50s, less than a 10% chance of rain in the morning. Then it all sort of dries up, so push back a day. At Turfway Park, a little below 50, no rain later today. Caitlin Free will update us on those conditions later in the show. In New York, it will be there'll be at least some light rain. Temperatures hovering around 50 where they run the Gotham later today. And the Fountain of Youth, no rain, mid-70s, nearly perfect conditions in Florida later today. And that's where Danny Gargan will saddle Dornock as the favorite. And good morning, Danny. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll try and get you out of here a little bit quicker than our usual guests, because we know you got to saddle one with the early post time. Got sunny in the first race. It's your first assignment today. Thanks for spending some time with us. How are things in South Florida?
Good. Thanks for having me. It's a little cloudy right now, but it should be a really pretty day throughout the day.
Yeah, and you know, your big horse in the race is Dornock, who comes off of a win in the Remsen Stakes. Just to give a little bit of background, last year you saddled your first Kentucky Derby starter with a $50,000 claimer, and that was Tax. You're actually, I didn't realize this until doing a little bit of research for the show, you're the defending champ in the in the Remsen right now, with Tax winning the WNL winning the race last year. You know, tell us a little bit about Dornock, how he's doing coming into the race, and we understand that there have already been two scratches, maybe your biggest threats in the race, Victory Avenue and Locked, 4-1 and 5-2. You're the morning line favorite at 2-1 with this good Magic Dornock. Your chances just got better.
Well, it's still, we still have Speakeasy in there. He ran a really big race first time out for Todd. He's an extremely talented young horse. So, but we're excited about today and looking forward to it. You know, Dornock's, it's going to be his first race. We don't have him as geared up as much because we want to keep going a little further. So, you know, down the road, we're looking further down the road. But, he's talented enough, and hopefully he's good enough today to get us a win or at least be second. So it's going to be a fun day.
He comes into the race with a two-race winning streak, the last one in the Remsen, and the current leader by odds for the Kentucky Derby is Sierra Leone. This is what happened in the Remsen Stakes, which was run just before in December, just before the holidays. Let's listen to the call of this thrilling race.
Up top, it's the top of the stretch, and it's Dornock who's kicked. Dornock is now opening up that margin. It's Dornock who's up by 3-4 wide, just ducked in there. Sierra Leone is rolling. Here comes the big bounding strides of Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone from last to first. This is a big effort. Battling on is Dornock, who's back to second. Sierra Leone is dugging in. Dornock is coming back. Dornock not done. It's going to be a photo. A photo, and I think
door knock got there. Believe the magic door knock battles back. Sierra Leone is in the photo. Then came drum roll, please. It's a tight photo. It looked like door knock in the Remsen.
And it turned out to be door knock. I mean, what a situation for this horse to be headed and substantially, I mean, headed. He may have been necked or even half length in the deep strides of the Remsen Stakes. And he comes back and wins on the inside. First off, did you know that he had won the race when you were watching it? And second off, you know, this was against what many people think is the favorite in the Derby right now. You got head-to-head versus the Kentucky Derby favorite. You know, tell us about the Remsen.
Well, I mean, he was running really comfortable early on and turned for home. Louis reached up to hit him right-handed. When he hit him, he hit the rail. And it stopped his momentum. He kind of opened up by three, and then he hit the rail and slowed down. And it was kind of, you know, and once he hit the rail, I thought, oh, God, he's going to get beat now. And somehow he found it in himself to get back running again, which most horses that hit the rail don't get back running. And he showed a lot of determination and heart, and you can't teach him that. That's something they have to have, and he definitely has some determination and heart. Because when he got beat in the sapling, he had kind of a rough trip that day. Horse bolted on his inside in the first turn. He got hung out, and he made a big move down the backside and turned for home. And Kendrick always said he didn't see the horse in the middle of the track that went by him. He said if he had another eighth of a mile, he would have beat that horse. And he said, this horse will come back on horses. And everybody thought Kendrick was made fun of me and Kendrick when we used to tell people that. And then he came back in the Remsen and proved Kendrick right.
Yeah, Kendrick Carmouche, you know, winner of the Virginia Derby here, Colonial Downs, was riding him in the Sapling Stakes. And now Luis Saez, the jockey who'll be riding him today. You know, this is a horse, he's bred by one of my favorite horses. Good Magic is a horse that, if it weren't for Justify, he may have won at least two legs of the Triple Crown himself. But it's Good Magic, if I remember him right, he wasn't that big of a horse. Doornock apparently is. I guess that comes from maybe the big brown mare that he's bred from.
Yeah, I mean, even like he's a full brother to Mage, who won the Derby last year. But Mage is more like Good Magic. They look really similar. They're not really huge horses. They're good size chestnuts, and they look a lot alike. Stocky, average size chestnuts. And Doornock looks just like Mage. Looks just like Puka. In the head, they're really similar. Their necks and shoulders. And she's a big, tall filly, and he's a really big, tall colt. Probably almost 17 hands. He's a big, big towering animal. And he's a beautiful mover, and we're just lucky and blessed to have him.
Yeah, I mean, what an opportunity that lays in front. Hopefully, you know, getting a start in the Derby and you know, with Doornock, who has already proven, you know, that he's a real fighter. And you do need fighters in the Derby, just the way the race is run. Tell us a little bit maybe about your background. You've trained horses with Nick Zito for a while. Your dad was a jockey. You know, tell us a little bit about your background and you know, now starting to reach some of the more upper levels of racing.
But you know, father was a jockey. I grew up at the racetrack. I've had, you know, I was a groom, a hot walker, an assistant trainer, and then when I left, you know, I worked for Nick for several years, and he's a big influence. And when I left Nick, I wanted to be a jocks agent, and I did that for about 8 years. Did quite well at that and had a nice career doing that. And I decided I wanted to mess around with horses. And then, you know, when I started doing it, I didn't realize it would get this where we are today. You know, it was just something I wanted to do for a summer or two to have fun and go to Saratoga. And it kind of snowballed into this. And it's been a lot of fun and really enjoying it now.
Good reason to enjoy it when you're having, you know, the success that you've had over the last couple of years, you know, mixing it up in Triple Crown races. Looking at your slate today, you do have a horse starting at Aqueduct, but there are three down at Gulfstream. Sunny here in the opener on the turf, of maiden special weight. But you also have Queen's Martini in the Devona Dale. Tell us maybe about your chances with Queen's Martini today as well.
Well, it's a really tough race, you know. Defending champion two-year-old filly's in there for Bill Mott, just FYI, and she's a really, really talented filly. I mean, we'd love to be second or third to her. Our filly ran second down here. She's learning. She's getting better with race, and she's a lively race horse. So if we could get a nice second or third, it'd be a really good day for her. I don't know if anybody can beat just FYI. Todd's filly's really talented, too. But yeah, we're just hoping to, you know, get some graded stakes and learn and keep her moving forward. And hopefully she can get the distance.
Yeah. Well, good luck today and all the racing that you have today, and especially with Dornock. Looking forward to him making the winner's circle later today. And thanks for coming on Off to the Races. We'll let you go and saddle your first horse in that first race. The day starts for you with Got Sunny, and you got Sunny today. One last question quickly. In the Remsen, that was a muddy track. You know, you're going to get a better track today. Any concerns just sort of with the surface, or does it really matter?
No, he's run on four different tracks and four different surfaces. He's run in the mud. He's run on, you know, he ran at Kingland on a fast track. Nothing seems to really faze him that way. He's a pretty solid competitor, and he shows up. So we just need him to show up and do his thing and try to stay out of his way and enjoy it.
Great. Well, good luck today. We appreciate you coming on, and that's the 5 horse in the 14th race, the finale at Gulfstream Park today, Dornock, with trainer Danny Gargan in the Fountain of Youth. Thanks for coming aboard.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy your day.
Great. Danny Gargan with the second choice in Kentucky Derby odds right now, Dornock running later today at the in the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream Park. Just wanted to keep you updated on this situation with the gray gaming bill. There was a little bit of progress, or I'd say that in quotation marks, with the bill yesterday as it passed and appears to be headed toward the governor's desk. Just picking up on an AP story that was released with the vote on it yesterday. The legislation would allow these gray games to go into truck stops and convenience stores and restaurants, basically where they are ABC licenses. And the bill, has passed. It's basically headed toward the governor's desk. The good news is the governor, there's a great story by Graham Mumaugh in the Virginia Mercury, really sort of brings you up to date and is probably the most accurate reading from a press standpoint that I've seen so far on the bill. It kind of explains all the ins and outs on it. That story, I think, came out on Monday of this week, perhaps even before the Racing Commission meeting that was held on Tuesday. But it's just, I can't fathom the fact that this gray gaming, the path that it's taken, so that it's even advanced so far. There's no referendum requirement. I mean, you talk about a completely unbalanced playing field when it comes to wagering in Virginia. This is something the horse racing industry has fought for over 80 years, and they still have a referendum requirement. Same thing with the casinos that have been approved in various localities. In Richmond, it got turned down twice. The locality had a chance to voice their opinion. And it's not the case with these gray games. And it just kind of completely changes, the field in terms of the wagering pie and really poses to undermine an economic formula that has worked so well in Virginia here, especially over the last 5 years. You know, they talk about first generation, how it's, you know, kept some of the convenience stores and kept some of the businesses afloat. You know, what does horse racing have at stake? Over 5,000 jobs, over 500 million of an overall economic impact. That's a date that goes back to a year that goes back to 2019. You know, overall state tax revenue of over 26 million. You know, it is just doesn't mention all the other beneficial aspects in regard to the work that you'll probably hear Jill Byrne talk about here after the break, that happens when you start talking about, you know, the therapy that is involved with these horses and the land preservation and you know, just the heritage of racing in Virginia overall. So I am asking you, Governor Youngkin, veto this bill. It is not worthy, and it is really messing with an economic formula that is working so well. Level the playing field, at least require the local referenda. That's something that really should be mandatory with this bill. We're going to head to break here on Off to the Races, and going into break, we'll try and get a little bit of upbeat here, a little bit of music leading us into our second segment. When we come back, Frank Vespi will talk with Jill Byrne, and we'll also go to Cincinnati, where Caitlin Free will be trackside handicapping the Turfway card today. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. You're listening to Off to the Races, powered by theracingbiz.com.
Nothing compares to a horse. They inspire greatness, command respect. Because Virginia's horse industry isn't just racing and farming. Right, it's built on the skills, labors, and passions of dedicated people working in every industry throughout our state. Horses fuel the economy, create jobs, support thousands of families, and even make dreams come true. Virginia's economy wins with horses. Find out more at virginiahorseracing.com.
7 week harness spring season starts at Shenandoah Downs in Woodstock, April 6th. The action will continue every Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock, actually 1:05 through May 18th. Woodstock is located between Harrisonburg and Winchester off I-81. Fans can enjoy free parking, free admission every day. Can't make it to the track? Bet Shenandoah Downs at any Rosie's Gaming Emporium or Virginia Horseplay OTB. You can also wager online versus via Twin Spires, TVG, ExpressBet, and Naira Bets. Details at ShenandoahDowns.com.
Nothing compares to a horse. They inspire greatness, command respect. Because Virginia's horse industry isn't just racing and farming. It's built on the skills, labors, and passions of dedicated people working in every industry throughout our state. Horses fuel the economy, create jobs, support thousands of families, and even make dreams come true. Virginia's economy wins with horses. Find out more at virginiahorseracing.com.
And living the dream here on Off to the Races is Frank Vespi, who joins us now on Off to the Races for his regular segment. And Frank, we were discussing all the way until Friday that there wasn't a whole lot of racing news in Maryland. And lo and behold, they raised the purse of the Preakness to $2 million and offer some very unique bonuses. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Nick. Good to be with you. And yeah, that came a little bit out of left field. They announced that they're going to increase the Preakness purse to $2 million and the dinner party, which is the used to be called the Dixie. It's the big turf race on the Preakness undercard. That's going to go up to $500,000. And they're going to connect these races to a new card in the fall, the California Crown. The California Crown is a race that used to be called the Awesome Again. That's going to get a purse boost. And then that's also going to all get connected to the Pegasus World Cup in January at Gulfstream, and a big bonus if you can sweep all those races. And so it's a pretty big deal. I give them credit. It's you know, they're trying to innovate, trying to use some product that they have and put them together in interesting ways. And I have to imagine the happiest man on the planet right now is Bob Baffert, because he's got a horse like Nisos, who figures to be a major player in the Preakness. Can't run in the Kentucky Derby because he's Bob Baffert, but he'll run in the Preakness and he'll be the favorite there most likely if things continue as they have been. And then the next leg of the series is in his backyard. So he's got to be pretty happy. It'll be fun to see how this all shakes out.
I'm sure he's, I wonder if he's actually won these races in the same year. I'm sure he's won each one at some point. Congratulations. We talked about how they need to do something like this, and perhaps this is a start to revamping the stakes program. One of the things our guests get on a regular basis, our regular guest, is their customized bumper music. So to bring in our next guest, let's get in the mood a little bit. With the Grateful Dead. Got the U.S. Blues playing in the background here. I like that video. If you've ever seen the video, you see that.
I don't know that I have seen the video. I like the Dead. I like the song, so. But I don't know if I've seen the video. I saw the Dead a couple times, actually. Still touring and all still alive. So, Jill, are you with us this morning?
I am sitting here rocking to the Dead now.
Yeah, right. Life things started looking a little better already. Jill Byrne joining me here on Off to the Races. She's the Vice President of Strategic Planning for the Virginia Equine Alliance, and also a little bit of a Deadhead. I assume you saw the Dead multiple times. Is that accurate?
Many, 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 many times, yes. And I'm still here to talk about it.
Which is a question for some people. So
yeah, and as I remember every bit of it. No, good times, great music, and I'm glad to see it kind of still carrying on. I don't know, even, you know, my daughter, big fan, everybody.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Beautiful. So it's passing through the generations.
That's right.
How did you get turned on to the Grateful Dead?
Oh, gosh, you know, I'm in 70s, right? And school, I mean, I'm talking going back to elementary school. I was listening to the Dead, and yeah, and they played at UVA. They came and played at the old, as we used to refer to it, the old Clam Dome when I was at UVA. So I saw them there. Saw them all throughout Virginia, New York, you name it, all over. Good times, good memories.
Excellent. Well, all right, let's turn our attention to somewhat more serious matters here, Jill. We had Debbie Easter on last week talking about the so-called gray games. Nick was just talking about that legislation passed the Virginia legislature on Friday that would permit these so-called gray games that are essentially slot machines. And they're going to be allowed at truck stops, convenience stores, and the like. The legislation now heading to Governor Youngkin for his signature. And so the conversation you and I were going to have overtaken by events a little bit. So I guess where I want to start here is, have you all at the VEA had a chance to sort of review what passed the legislature yesterday? And do you have a position on what the governor should do next?
I have not. So, you know, to speak on that right now, you know, would not be for me to do. So we, you know, have not had a conversation that I've been involved with since yesterday. So, you know, I'll leave that to everyone else on the team. I'm sure there's a lot of conversation going on about it. But, you know, we can do what we can do, and hopefully, you know, these games will get the kind of regulation that they should have, and as we do. So that's all. I'll speak to that right now, but okay. Debbie and Jeb, you know, could speak more on it. And, you know, we're doing our part to educate legislators, delegates, you know, everybody constituents throughout the state of Virginia on the importance of the horse racing and breeding industry to the economic impact, what it does, you know, for the state of Virginia, and how far-reaching it is. And I think that's a big part, you know, this campaign that I've been leading, marketing campaign, is more it's education and awareness for everybody to realize, you know, the person who lives next to them might somehow be affected by, you know, indirectly or directly by the horse breeding and racing industry and the entire horse industry in the state of Virginia. They could, you know, work at a farm store or be a veterinarian. You know, there's so many moving pieces to what the horse industry does for the state of Virginia. So it's important to get that awareness out, you know, this huge economic impact that it has on the state.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit, if you would, about, you know, when we talked with Debbie, it was sort of in the vein of, you know, how would this legislation affect the industry? But let's sort of flip that on its head a little bit and talk about some of the initiatives that you all have been able to undertake in part because of the support of HHR and then this money that is coming into the industry. What are some of the things? Talk a little bit about this marketing initiative that the VEA has mounted.
Yeah, well, I think you need to kind of go back to a lot of, you know, what the VEA does, and, you know, with, as you mentioned, the funds that come in from the HHR, you know, so much of that is given back to more than just directly to horse racing and breeding. You know, it supports the Virginia Horse Center, it supports the medical, the veterinary school at, you know, Virginia Tech, youth programs, 4-H, so there's a lot of programs in this state of Virginia that are supported and supplemented by these funds. And then, of course, you know, the racing and breeding program, the Virginia Certified Program, which I know Debbie has spoken about many times on your show, and how important that has been to revitalizing farms in Virginia. And, you know, when your farms are revitalized, your agribusiness jobs are created. And as I mentioned before, you know, then farms need equipment, they need, you know, crops and hay and feed. So I think it's understanding how this money flows and how important it is to really, you know, the revitalization of Virginia, the horse industry. When you think back, history of horse racing started here in Virginia, but we didn't have parimutuel wagering until what, you know, I think it was passed in the late 80s, and then Colonial Downs opened in 97. So it's interesting kind of the juxtaposition of this incredible history in Virginia dating back to, you know, the 1500s, 1600s, and then to the more, how recent really that, you know, racing and breeding programs are, you know, being kind of revitalized here. So it's kind of a wide web of how all of this comes together. But, you know, the layman's terms is basically understanding, and that's what this campaign that we've been doing, this awareness campaign, of how huge the economic impact is on the state of Virginia by everything related to the horse industry.
We're talking with Jill Byrne of the Virginia Equine Alliance, and the campaign that you mentioned involves TV, radio, social media, earned media, all kinds of different components of the program that you're doing. What kind of feedback are you getting from Virginians, from people out there who may have been exposed to this?
Very positive. And also that, wow, you know, I had no idea. A lot of people are like, wow, you know, I had no idea and didn't think about it in those terms of, especially, you know, green space and agribusiness and farms, which, you know, are kind of the fabric of Virginia. So I think it's been the education and awareness for people to realize that this isn't just about horses running around in circles on a racetrack. This has a much deeper effect on their lives that they probably didn't connect the dots to. So that's been, for me, very satisfying, is that kind of feedback from, you know, sort of more of your casual general public, and, you know, just really people very kind of awed in a good way by, you know, showing the people that are connected to the horses and how this, you know, not only affects their lives, but, you know, obviously affects their careers as well.
Well, it's interesting too, because, you know, the racetrack Colonial Downs would, you know, advertise and say, come to the races or play the races. And what you all are doing is related to that, but it's also going in these other directions to say, you see a horse, we see a horse, and all these various people who care for the horse and all this land that is preserved by the existence of the horse. So it does put it in a much sort of broader context.
Right. You know, there's kind of two pieces to a marketing campaign. So one would be, you know, like you said, Colonial Downs or Shenandoah Downs is, hey, come to the races, have a great time, you know, dollar beer and hot dogs, watch the horses, bet on the horses, bring your family. It's very family friendly. And so it's that campaign. And then additionally for us, it's this bigger campaign of, you know, did you know that that one horse creates, you know, 12 jobs, and the bigger picture to it. And, you know, Virginia has so much beautiful kind of farmland and green space. So I think people begin to appreciate that it's not just, you know, big fancy farms somewhere and nothing, only the people that own them are benefiting from it. It has a much bigger impact in the state.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Jill Byrne, Vice President of Strategic Planning for the Virginia Equine Alliance and Deadhead. Thanks for joining me here on Off to the Races and helping to explain the VEA's plan to raise awareness of the impact of the racing and breeding industries throughout Virginia. Enjoy the rest of your day. Maybe catch a little, listen to a little Dead while you're relaxing.
I think I will. Thank you very much. Thanks. And thanks for all your support from Racing Biz as well.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Nick, that was Jill Byrne. Good stuff that the VEA is doing and raising awareness throughout the state of the impact of this sport, which is so much more than just, as Jill said, the horses running in circles at a racetrack.
Yeah, I mean, Jill's position is very vital. You've seen it. I've seen it. When I look at it in Virginia, I'm constantly amazed just how broad the industry is in Virginia. And to have, you know, the Dennehy Godseys of the world, the Patrick Nushas of the world, they don't really go out and market themselves. They go, they take care of the horse. It's all they want to do. It's their lifestyle. And it largely goes unrecognized, you know, throughout, you know, the industry in terms of, you know, the only time they really get recognition is when their horse wins or runs well. Or maybe even starts, you know, but there's so much that they have to do, and it goes largely unnoticed, especially in Virginia, where all these farms are sort of tucked away on gravel roads and, mm-hmm. and these hollows and stuff, from Richmond to Roanoke, from Northern Virginia to Charlottesville. And it's, that's why her role and her initiative here is, I think, very important, because it shows just how big the industry has been and will be in Virginia moving forward. So, you know, kudos for her for bringing this to the fore. It's really important, Frank.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. It's there's a story to be told, and it's important that we tell it. So good stuff that the VEA is working on.
Yeah, I mean, I look at a horse, I always got a kick. One of my favorite stories to tell, you know, that sort of symbolizes this is Long on Value. This is a horse that became Virginia's 19th millionaire, and he was the first thoroughbred foaled in the county that I was born in, Augusta County.
Yeah.
And the first one in like two decades, he becomes a $1 million earner. You know, that it just foaled across the street from Buffalo Gap High School, if anybody knows where that is. But it's, you know, I just and there are horses like that that come from all little, you know, corners, and people are involved in getting that horse to become a winner or at least a participant. So, yeah, glad to see it. Thanks, Frank. We'll talk to you next week. And, yeah, we'll have plenty to talk about with the Preakness. Preakness Future Wager is up and running this Saturday.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. They're going to have two windows this year for the first time. Last year was the first time they did a Preakness Future Wager. This year they've added a second wagering window, which is happening right now. And I think Nisos is the favorite, and the field is 6-1, if I recall correctly. Obviously, it's all subject to change since it is parimutuel wagering. But yeah, if you're feeling it on the Preakness, you can get going right now.
We'll deliver how the favorite turned out next week.
One's good to go.
On Off to the Races. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you, Nick.
Great. And on to our handicapping breakfast table here, trying to, with Caitlin Free, who will be hosting the Signal. And yeah, we'll get the coffee poured here, and you know, with a little bit of bumper intro to get the table set here, spread out the PPs here, in the background, a couple cups of coffee being poured here, and when we go out on the backstretch, the horses are all being fed, a little oat bucket there, and Caitlin Free is free to join us on Off to the Races this morning. We'll start with the Battaglia. I have not had a chance to check on scratches or really conditions before the show, other than there's no rain, going to be cool, as you might expect, just south of Cincinnati. Caitlin, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be back on with you. And we do have a couple scratches in the Battaglia. One of Brad Cox's came out last night, Gettysburg Address. It was announced yesterday that he's not going to run. I think he's going to stay at Oaklawn and run somewhere else. And then the 8 Breakout for Safi Joseph is also out.
So do the AEs get in with Carl with Anarl and Khatib, or did they get in time? Caitlin?
Looks like we lost her. I'll try and get her back.
Okay. Just a little hiccup there, but yeah, those were the AEs coming in. The Battaglia Epic Rye, John Ennis's horse for Welsh Racing, is the favorite at 5-2. The 6 horse there. This is actually the 6th race of $150,000 in purse money here. And of course, you have points moving toward the Kentucky Derby starting gate as well in this group. Was looking at Encino a little bit, another Brad Cox horse, as it turns out. This was a horse by Nyquist, who won the 2016 Kentucky Derby. This is a horse coming off a win at Turfway Park. They run this race on the synthetic, and checking here to see how we did with Caitlin. Caitlin, you back?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
That's okay. It happens once a show, it seems like.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was like mid-sentence, and I was like, okay, bye.
So do the AEs get in 13 and 14, Carl with Anarl and Khatib?
They did.
Oh, okay. So that... a couple of long shots. Khatib may be the better, more than ready horse with Declan Cannon for Brendan Walsh getting into this race. How do you think the race plays out?
Well, I think a couple of the two scratches that we had, I think they both really helped the favorite Epic Ride. Other than the one defeat where he finished second behind Smokey Smokey when he was just kind of a little bit green on debut, he's still kind of a little bit green, but he's so talented. He's passed every test, and I don't think this is the type of a horse that really needs the lead or anything, and I'm actually a little surprised that he went here. I thought maybe he would skip this race and maybe go to the Jeff Ruby, but John Ennis has said, he's doing so good right now, he's ready to run. We need to run him while, he is doing as good as he's doing, and, if we have to skip the Ruby, go to the Bluegrass or another race, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but he's doing so well, why don't we just run him now? So they're going to run him. He's already proven at the two turns. I don't see how the extra 16th of a mile is really going to bother him at all. I think it's actually maybe just going to make him better because he is bred for distance, being by Blame out of the Gio Pontemier. And really the only other one that I thought was interesting was the horse that was second to him last time out, Blue-Eyed George, who I do think has every right to improve, and he's already won at this distance.
It's kind of interesting. Looking at the race, we do a feature, I didn't announce it at the beginning of the show, called the Layup and the Long Shot. My layup today, especially with the scratches, it should be nice out in California, but that might be just a little too easy. I'm going to go with Door Knock here. Danny Gargan's horse is my layup. But my long shot is Mission Ready with my man Gavin Ashton aboard. The guy that came to Colonial Downs, washed up chef and soccer player, comes to Colonial Downs, wins his first six races at Colonial Downs. How is he doing out there at Turfway?
He is doing really, really well, and I'm so proud of Gavin for the way he has transitioned here in the States. He hasn't skipped a beat. He's getting more and more rides. He's so professional, and you just know when Gavin's on a horse, you're going to get 110% effort. The way he rides, I think that European style really fits here, not only, you know, just in America, but especially over the all-weather with the type of history he has. Both he and Adam Biskitza also from the UK has been really doing well here, and it's only going to be a matter of time before Gavin gets a stakes win here. He's already passed over $1 million in earnings since he's been here in the States, so he's doing very, very well.
That's good to hear. A guy that really sort of literally cut his teeth at Colonial Downs summers ago. The Gotham Stakes is at Aqueduct, the 10th race. This has, you know, points toward the Kentucky Derby. It's a 50-25 race. 13 horses here. I did not see any scratches before we came on the air. But, you know, a 13-horse field all staying up north, staying in New York, I imagine there might be one or two if they actually are looking at rain today. It was raining up there earlier. What do you think about the Gotham Stakes race at Secretariat one?
I just looked. There are two scratches, the one Canate and the 12 Slider. So those are both out, especially if they get, you know, rain. It'll be a little tough, I think, if you're trying to go against the likes of Just a Touch, who absolutely freaked in the swap at Fairgrounds for Brad Cox. I know a lot of people are really, really excited about this horse, but he's likely going to be a really short price. So if you're kind of wanting to look elsewhere, one that kind of really grabbed my attention for a trainer that's usually good coming off the bench is Deterministic. He ran really, really nicely at Saratoga, hasn't been seen since, and he's been working really, really well down in Florida. So he's one that definitely got my attention. I think potentially El Grande O for Linda Rice is going to come back. I think this race is this horse's to lose. I mean, of course, you have Just a Touch and Deterministic and a couple other really nice maidens in here, but this is the horse that kind of really has the substance. He was going a mile and an eighth last time out, which is a little too short for him. He's shortening back up to a better distance. He has the speed. He has the form over and off track. So I think this is kind of really the horse to beat in here. And if he's anywhere around that morning line of 8-1, which I don't think he's going to be, I think he's going to be more like 5-1. I think he's really interesting in this race. So he would probably be the one that I would go with. But Just a Touch, if he's any of the horse that a lot of people think he is, he should be really tough in there, especially with the track likely coming up off again.
Down where they will have nice weather is in Florida, mid-70s. I did hear about the two scratches in this race, which really helped Door Knock.
2 minutes.
Victory Avenue scratched, Locked to scratch. That's the 5-2, 4-1 morning line. So Door Knock at 2-1 is basically losing his second and third rival in the race. Speakeasy sort of steps up now with a Rad Ortiz. It's still a challenger, Constitution Colt with a Rad Ortiz and Pletcher Windstar. That's still a formidable foe there for Door Knock. It's not going to be easy. What do you think about the Fountain of Youth run down in Florida, another 50-25 race?
The 6th Merit is also out, so that didn't really change much of the race. As I said, you know, about some other horses, this is, you know, Door Knock's race to lose. That being said, Speak Easy ran so well last time out, and I still don't know how we got 8-1 on a Todd Pletcher with Ira Attaborda, a first-time starter that had been working well. I think because so much focus was on Victory Avenue, and the fact that this horse beat him pretty easily on debut, I thought was really, really impressive. So 9-2 is not going to happen on Speakeasy with Locked and Victory Avenue coming out of the race. Doorknock's going to be a heavy favorite in there, but I think Speakeasy is I'll take him over Doorknock at this point.
Okay, yeah, Speakeasy then, the one. Caitlin, thanks a lot. We'll see you at Colonial again this summer, and want to thank everybody that was on the show today. Daryl Wood, Danny Gargan, good luck today with Doorknock. Jill Byrne, Caitlin Free, you just heard. Frank Vespi as well. We'll talk to you next week. Review the Tampa Bay Derby and all these races as well. Thanks for spending your Saturday with us. Post time next week, 10 o'clock.